Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
I like sucking.
Put that dick in my ass.
Legit fat podcast.
I like China.
We're going to be turned.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
You are.
This is Joe Biden, and you're listening to Legit Fat Podcast. And now your hosts, Jim, Jan, and Bland.
Welcome back to another Legit Fat Podcast. We are just barraging you this week with show after show. That's what happens when I'm on vacation. You're welcome. And, of course, they're all free. So thank you to YouTube, Rockfin, and audio listeners. Apparently, Rockfin is kind of going the way of Old Yeller, from what I hear. It might not be around that much longer. This is just the rumor. But I hope not, because we've been on them, you know, since day one. So it would suck if they did something to go out of business or something. But I'm not going to talk too much shit. Yeah.
No.
And again, Brandon from Expanding Reality is joining me to co-host with me again. Thanks again, brother. And always his links will be in the show notes. But tonight we have somebody who I've been trying to get on for a while, and you weren't doing any interviews until early spring, and I followed right back up with you. I'm like, no, we're gonna get you on. I looked at some of your stuff on YouTube, and this is Christina Gomez from Strange Paradigms. So give us a quick rundown of what you do over your show. I know it's a lot of UFO UAP talk, so what's your main jam over there?
Oh, thanks for having me and doing a follow-up. I really appreciate it. Yes, I wasn't doing interviews, both conducting them and being a part of them for about a year. And so I'm back at it. And I want to say thank you for having me on. And the things that I cover, so the biggest things has to do with UFO updates in the sense of like disclosure and transparency with the government, historical cases referring to UFOs, and anything really that we're seeing it in the news, how it's showing up with more modern sightings, how people are talking about it. But I do also cover the paranormal and cryptids as well. But my specialty is in ufology.
Love it. And yeah, there is a lot of bleed through with, you know, the cryptid scene and the UFO and Bigfoot. They all, if you're in this long enough, you realize it all kind of blends together. And we've talked a lot about that too on the show. But what's some of your favorite things? So when you're talking about transparency, that's that also gets into politics a lot. And the transparency we've seen in the last year or two, actually since 2017, is not exactly what I would call transparency. It's like, here's some little tidbits to throw out. And people who have been looking into this for decades are like, that's nothing. We either already knew that, or what you're giving us is just confirming what we already researched. So How do you approach that with the transparency thing, with the, you know, the congressional hearings and Grush and all these people that are coming out trying to tell us what's going on, when really it just seems like more of a cover up to me?
That's a really great question. And when we're looking at the government view on UFO transparency and disclosure, the way that congressmen describe it, very specifically like Anna Paulina Luna and Tim Burchett, is that it is a bipartisan issue. So you have both Democrats and Republicans trying to be on the same page with this, and which includes the Schumer-Rounds amendment. So you're dealing with Democrats and Republicans saying like, yeah, we all care about this. Now, it gets really tricky, because when do we trust the government? Like, when do we trust what they have to say?
Never.
Right? And
Never is the answer.
And that's where a lot of people stand, Joe. And so that's why I'm looking at this from the perspective of being on the fence, really just hearing what they have to say and then dissecting it from there. Because you're right, the things that they're covering, we're fully aware of, at least those that have just barely looked into the UFO topic, right? Now, what was really interesting last year for the congressional hearing with David Grush, Ryan Graves, and David Fravor, one question that really stood out that I believe Congressman Tim Burchett asked is one of two questions. One is, are there reverse engineering programs? And that really sparked interest. The other one was along the lines of, has anyone been murdered in regards to researching or attempting to speak out about this topic? That's a toughie, because while a lot of people in this field or that look into this want to see UFOs and aliens as this super cool new hip thing, and there are space brothers here to protect the Earth and cure cancer, there's also a very dark side to it as well, dealing with the alleged alien abductions and everything kind of pertaining to that, but also people that have their fingers in this as well. There is that huge cover-up. And it can be very dark. There have been a lot of people across the world that have attempted to come forward and then have supposedly either taken their own life or have gone missing. A really fantastic example of this is the previous captain of Operation Saucer that took place in Colares, Brazil back in 1977. 20 years after the incident, he spoke out about his encounter that he had in Brazil for that 6-month flap. And then 2 months after telling the world what happened and what his men encountered, he allegedly took his own life. We can also say this with Phil Schneider as well and the Dulce base. And so this is where it gets very difficult for a lot of people to cover, where it gets very dicey. And at the same time, I think that catches a lot of people's interest to get a better understanding of where should I be looking.
Yeah, and the cover-up part of it is a huge, especially for people in this genre who have been talking about it a long time, the cover-up part is the weirdest part of it. Because like you said, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's a lot of people out there that are UFOs, aliens, whatever, they're good, they're here for our 5D enlightenment and all this stuff. And there is very clearly cases where that is not true. People's lives get affected by this in negative ways all the time. And whether that's, so I'm of the opinion that 90% of what we see out there is probably black ops military projects. I've seen stuff in the sky where I'm like, I don't think that's aliens. I think that's, you know, testing out new things, whatever. But so the cover up part of it is a hard thing to get our heads around, because as soon as they started coming out with the 2017 tic-tac thing, the Nimitz, all that stuff, that's when a lot of people that were really into the UFO game kind of backed off, because they're like, wait a minute, we don't trust the government. We haven't been trusting what you've been saying about this for decades. Why should we believe you now? And that's, I don't know how to wrap my head around that either, because I bring up the same thing with FOIA requests, where the people that don't trust the government are using FOIA requests and getting all these redacted ass papers and then being like, look what I found. It's in the paperwork. Okay. Why are you believing the paperwork from the government and they blocked out what they didn't want you to see? So I don't know, Brandon, I know you have a lot to say about that kind of thing. What do you think? Weigh in on this a little bit.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. This whole damn thing. And I think, Christina, what you've done is fantastic, because you've gone real grassroots, real boots on the ground with all of the people giving all of the testimonies. You are up to date on all of the latest things going on in the field, which is fantastic. And we appreciate niche folks who get down in it and just say, here's what I'm going to do. And you present the information in such an interesting way. Back to what Joe was saying with the horrendous effects. If anybody's read Bud Hopkins, anything, Intruders, Missing Time, you know that there are some challenges with receiving this in a gracious way. And to that, then, I would say that also the three men that you mentioned there are all named David, who have been testifying. And if we sort of step back and we look at sort of this realm and this world and the way that it presents things to you, the UFO narrative has been posed in a book by Chris Horn and Thomas Chris Putnam and Thomas Horn called Exo Vaticana. Christina, Joe, have you guys ever heard of this or read it?
I have not.
It's about basically what they did was, is they go through, it's a thick bastard too, what they go through is the Vatican archives. They start, of course, with the Lucifer telescope in Graham, Arizona, named Lucifer and ran by the Vatican, of course. And then they go into the coming alien deception, and what it's really going to be is more of a demonic deception just coming from the sky. So it's sort of a new religion that's shifting its focus. Now, whether you're religious or not, I'm not a Christian, I would just go ahead and say this, but I do find interesting correlations between the people and the names of the people that they choose to put up. Now, Gematria aside, you can look at, again, the three men that you named, Fravor and the rest, David. Now, David, in the Bible, was the second ruler of the United Kingdom of ancient Israel and Judah. He founded the Judean dynasty and united all of the tribes of Israel under a single monarch. Now, think about that. Davids are being presented to you so that we can take this mess and all present under a single narrative, right? Now, also, military folks. So the narrative is already being pushed that this should be something that you should fear, or that you should all at least outsource your security to their ability to defend you to, right? Now, also with this, just continuing, his son Solomon expanded the empire that David built. David is an important figure in Judaism, Christianity, blah, blah, blah. Plus what he did with the giant there, right? Now, I just find it interesting, again, the names of the folks, the characters that are presented in the theater that we are being shown in all of these different directions. So that's all. I just found it interesting that this coming sky deception, and I just sort of wanted to see what your thoughts were on that actually it's more of a deceptive tool being used as something fantastic so that we'll just accept it.
I've never considered the symbolism with the name David, mainly because the previous whistleblowers that we have gotten publicly, they haven't been following that pattern. But as of recently with David Fravor and David Grush, I can see where you're going with that. But it's kind of a toughie because some, you know, with the human mind, we so badly want to place patterns on everything, be like, okay, I get it. But I think with the UFO phenomenon, it's very difficult. But when we're looking at it with the government goggles, right, their own glasses, there is a lot of hidden symbolism behind that. And that's where it gets very difficult to understand what's really going on. And for myself, I, at the end of the day, when I sit down and I think of the government and their attempt to talk about UFOs and sprinkle misinformation and disinformation, I think, for what? Honestly, it's so boring trying to confuse everyone. And then not even their own men know what's true and what's not. And so, like, could it be that we're dealing with this? Are more Davids going to come forward and be whistleblowers? That'll be really interesting. And I think that could solidify your theory. As of now, I'll take anyone that wants to come forward and get some really good questioning out of them.
Yeah. And we try to take Brandon's show is pretty similar to ours, where we take almost every perspective we can find and apply it to every situation to see if the pieces fit. So that's just one of the, you know, possibilities of coming into this and trying to figure out. But I love that you said that. Why are they doing this? And why now after so long? And you can talk about Bluebeam all day. People can think of that what they want as well. But I think most of the Project Bluebeam is just on all of our screens, not necessarily projected in the sky. I think there are actual things flying around up there. But what would you put the percentage on of it being an actual, and I'll say extraterrestrial in a loose way, not as aliens from another planet, but possibly interdimensional, you know, out of phase with this reality they figured out, time travelers. You can put whatever name you want on it, but what do you think the percentage of that would be with military versus the other?
Ooh, it's going to be a high percentage, without a doubt, mainly because a lot of the black projects that took place with the military, we don't know for another 20, 30 years. So the things that we're seeing right now could obviously be military. Great examples of this could be like the TR-3B and a few older ones that go back that we are now familiar with. And I think one of them's called like the Black Hawk or something. I know someone's going to correct me here, but you are aware of what I'm attempting to refer to here. Now, there are certain craft in the sky that are very difficult to say, okay, that's definitely military, because we just don't have the technology to do that. But there have been stories, and David Grush has alluded to this as well, even Bob Lazar, right, referring to reverse engineering programs where they have received crashed craft. Say that three times fast.
Yeah.
And then they're able to reverse engineer it, right? And then somehow obtain that same kind of energy, maybe even exotic matter as well, to make it go maybe through dimensions to give it that faster speed, maybe even to time travel, you know, hit those really high G forces. The possibilities are endless. Now, the big question is why? Let's go with the theory that all the crap that we're seeing is extraterrestrial and or interdimensional, right? Why are they visiting Earth? What is the purpose? Is there a purpose? Are they just interested in humanity the same way that we're interested in Neanderthals and maybe the Sahara Desert, right? And things that live there? Is it because it's originally their planet and they're just kind of looking it over? Are they protectors? Are we just cattle for them? The possibilities here are endless. And on top of that, what if we're dealing with different species that have different agendas as well? Well, this is where I bring in maybe one of my favorite topics when it comes to this conversation. True or not, let's just use our imagination here, have a little bit of fun. Let's say the Eisenhower Treaty really did happen, where he was in contact at the Holloman Air Force Base with the Hook-Nosed Grays, and he signed a contract that said, you can take our cattle and our people in return for advanced technology. Let's just say that happened. It would then make some sense of all the things that have happened since. Alien abductions were highly prevalent in the 70s, 80s, and began to kind of tick down in the 90s. Now, in present day, we don't hear them as often as we used to. Now, think about the Eisenhower Treaty. It took place during that time frame. And so looking at all of this, it can feel overwhelming. And then you think, okay, well, what's true and what's not? And with the work that I do, the research that I do, I will never tell you what is true and what's not. I will collect all the information, put it out there, and allow people to make up their own minds. Because what I think is true might not be, and vice versa. Nobody has the answers. No one really knows what's going on. And if you do, you're lying. So all I can do is just provide the information.
Well, this is, I just want to ask you real quick then, because on your show, you do present things in a very objective way, but we're interviewing you, we're honoring you as our guest here. So what do you think is going on? Gloves off. Nobody's going to hold you to plant a flag, because we know that this is flexible with new information. But with what you've gathered over the time that you've been researching this, where are you at right now with this personally?
Well, to start off with, ever since the James Webb Space Telescope was launched, we now know that the universe is twice as old as we thought it was, which is really exciting information. Then on top of that, we're aware that the planet Earth has had several mass extinctions. If we were to consider that before those previous extinctions, there were also intelligent species or intelligence like humans, and then somehow they went extinct, that would be really interesting for entities that maybe were part of the cutoff civilization where they, you know, leave, right? And they're visiting planet Earth again to see how this new species is developing. That would be a really interesting theory. And it could also be that some of these craft that we're seeing that were mistaken for UFOs could be military, in the sense to confuse the public on this topic. Now, Joe asked a really important question earlier. Why is this conversation happening now? We've been talking about this for decades. Since the 50s, the United States government has been applying and producing countless UFO projects and offices, a little under 20, and every single office says nothing to see here. All these UFOs have an explainable explanation, but we just don't fully know what it is, all the way up until Arrow. And If they knew all the answers, why are they still funding this? Why are they putting manpower, technology, all of our tax dollars into this topic? Why? And especially since 2017 onward, why now? Why are they showing this interest? There could be several possibilities. One of them could be that they simply cannot keep the lid on the boiling pot anymore. And so instead, they want to control this slow drip disclosure to maybe help the overall public ready for something that's going to happen. Maybe like a mass sighting, maybe something that was bigger than the Phoenix Lights that took place in 1997. Or it could just all be a distraction for something else entirely. Could it just be a control factor? Is it Project Bluebeam, right? There's all of these different things, but I'd like to be optimistic here that maybe we might get this mass sighting and the United States government is attempting to kind of pacify the situation. And I do want to state this very quickly, is that the United States is one of the last countries that has had a public UFO office. Uruguay and South America has been doing it for decades. Chile, Brazil as well. You have Japan, you have Russia, you have China. The US and Canada are so unbelievably behind. And the thing is that with South America, you can talk to anyone in any of those countries that I mentioned or other ones and say, UFOs, aliens? They're like, oh yeah, my mom saw one a few years ago. Oh yeah, my grandfather had a sighting just a few decades ago. And they're so much more open to talk about these things, including their politicians, including those in power, compared to the United States. I just wanted to add that there. I think it's rather important.
Thank you. No, they're pretty desensitized to it. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, and it is funny too, the openness of other countries to just talk about these things. And I know I think it's Norway or Poland, one of those two, they have a huge fairy lore thing. And a lot of the fae folklore bleeds into this kind of topic too. And it seems similar. I love the idea that the phenomenon, we'll call it, changes with the level of technology that's available at the time. So back in couple hundred to 1,000 years ago, there was a lot of fairy folk, leprechaun, that kind of idea, or the little people. You know, they even saw orbs back then with little people in them. I mean, there's tons of stories of little tiny people and these little orbs floating around. And you know, if you eat their food or drink their drink, they pull you into their world, which seems extra dimensional. And there's a lot of that goes on too. But I did want to kind of go back to what you're saying about the Eisenhower thing. I could see it being both, where there is the phenomenon going on and they kind of just co-opted it for themselves for their own purposes, to be like, you know, now we can legally abduct Americans or whatever and run whatever weird Nazi experiments on them we want. And it's just going to be written off as aliens and then we can call them crazy. So
right. It,
as with most things, I think a lot of this is more than one thing. And I think you brought that up too, like different factions. So let's say 10%, that's being pretty, you know, liberal with it, but a lot, say 10% of sightings, abductions, all that stuff are actually unknown and it's not the US military. That still leaves 10% of, that's a shitload of stuff to happen. And a lot of times they're very bad. Like most of the time, I would say you got cows with cored out anuses and removed eyes and cut off tongues. And I mean, that just seems like almost like what we would do, like you said, to, you know, primates or something like that, where we're just trying to figure out what's in there. Like, how do you tick? And that seems more like not military to me, because we already kind of know how cows work. So the cattle mutilations and all that type of stuff, that does seem more, quote, alien to me than anything the military would do. But all the things with humans, though, is where it gets weird. So we've talked a lot, and we've had Terry on two or three times, but Terry Lovelace, have you heard of him? Incident at,
yes,
Devil's Den. So we've talked to him a bunch, and the beginning of it sounds like an alien abduction story. Then everything that happened following that for decades seemed like military stuff. So if you're familiar with his story, like what would you think about that? Because I mean, he did have some other weird stuff happen, like an Oriental lady shows up, you know, years later, and that was a weird part of the story. If you haven't heard that story, go listen to the audiobook, read his book, whatever. But if you're familiar, Christina, then you know what I'm talking about. But what do you think about that story in particular?
It's a toughie, mainly because all we have is, for the most part, not just his case, but consistently with a lot of people that have commented they have been abducted by aliens, for the most part, we only have their verbal testimony, maybe their written testimony, if that. Memories are very faulty as well. And I don't want to be that crappy person to say that in this topic, but it's very, very true. And when we begin to look at the parts of where the body has been scarred, or they have been able to find probes protruding out of their skin with no scar, that's where it really begins to catch my interest there. But hearing just stories, while I do enjoy them and they're very important to investigate, it's just more difficult to place 100% like your feeling of truth behind it, especially if you haven't experienced it yourself. Moreover, when we're dealing with these military operations, because that information is not public, we don't really know what to compare it to. If someone were to have been abducted, what they believe, by an alien, right? And the military knows this, they're going to create the operation room or whatever to look exactly like that, to play in with your already basic understanding of this. And vice versa, these aliens, whatever they might be, the Greys or the Hooknosed Greys or the Praying Mantis, whatever, they're going to attempt, at least to my understanding, they're going to attempt to make it look more human, like a hospital room that we hear consistently with these stories, because they want to make it look a little bit more familiar. And so when we have these two parts, aliens and military, trying to play each other off, that's where it gets really hard to look into this. And all you can do is have an open mind.
So if the military is trying to make it more familiar to what an alien abduction is, where are they getting that in the first place? From anecdotal stories. So they either know that that's semi-true, or they're just playing off people's fears. And that goes into what I always talk about too, where my general stance on this is that a lot of this phenomenon is connected, like Bigfoot, aliens, cryptids, fairies, all of that to me seems like the same thing. And I just like to call it the djinn, because it just seems like this extra dimensional thing that can appear to you however it wants to, depending on what your worldview is, or what your fears are, or anything like that. Like, there's a lot of times, I think it's what was the guy? They're coming out with a movie, but it was also a book. Help me, Brandon. What was that? It was the UFO of God. Who was that? I can't remember the name now.
Bledsoe.
Bledsoe said so. Yes, we've had him on as well. But so I don't know if his dad's worldview at the time was actually a Christian one, but the way that this entity or whatever showed up to him was in like an angelic way. And that's one of the better stories you'll hear. Other times they show up as something that smells like sulfur, and would be more like what, you know, the old scriptures would call a demon. So it seems to just be the same phenomenon. It's showing up in different ways for different reasons at different times. And that's hard to distinguish from the military, because they do the same shit.
Exactly. But on top of that, talking about angels and demons, because they do not originate here on Earth, they are classified as aliens, which just messes people's brains up even more. When you think about that if you were to have an encounter with an alien, not with an alien, but yeah, also with an alien or an angel or a demon or even the djinn, right? Because they do not originate here, therefore, equal sign, right? We're making a whole math equation here. They are aliens, interdimensionals, extraterrestrials, whatever. And
people get hung up on semantics a lot. We're using the same words for different things.
Semantics and labels really affect this entire conversation, especially when we're dealing with different cultures, ideas, stories. We could all be talking about the exact same thing, but the different names is what is confusing us as a whole. Or do we need to have all these different names because they are different entities? It's so easy to place the demonic label on anything that scares us or that we do not understand. It's also very easy to place the label of a UFO, even if we were actually to see a drone or a Chinese lantern. I hate using those examples, but I'm just putting it out there as an example. And so these labels help us bring us together to have an understanding of what we're talking about, but it also pulls us apart because my definition of an angel and yours could be very different, even though we're talking about the exact same thing.
Right. And that happens all over the place, not even just in this field, but in everything. When people are arguing about different things, it's like, you're talking about the exact same thing. I misspoke earlier. We're talking about the same thing, giving it different names. Obviously, you're going to. We have a different language. You're not going to call it the same thing I do. And we're going to have different ideas based on how we were raised, and all these different factors that come in, it just muddies the waters, which I would assume might also be by design too, because how much easier it is to hide all this stuff if you have all this confusion behind terms and people's worldviews and what they're seeing and what they're experiencing. There's going to be disparity between all of this, and it just makes it that much easier to completely obfuscate everything that's going on. And again, for what reason? We ask that question a lot, and that seems to be the bigger question, is why? What's actually going on here that you have to hide it?
One of the crazy things too is in one of these ancillary parts of the phenomena is a contactee will say that they had this very standard, what some people would call a very standard experience, even though yes, it's felt subjectively, but on their way out the door, the alien that they saw was wearing a Pearl Jam Tour 97 shirt. And all these weird little anomalies that make now the story that was once, I guess, credible to a degree, or had a thread of consistency, and it throws this curveball in at the end. I've spoken to a couple folks. I know Ronald Kinsella has one of these. Amazing contact story. He comes back down into his body, and then just before the aliens leave and the portal closes, the Cheshire cat comes in and scares the shit out of him and then bounces. It's like these little tack-ons to the ends, these little, like, fuck yous, these little flicks from the phenomena as it's sending you this parting away gift as well. And that's interesting too, is sort of this discredit campaign, because then people would just go, ah, that was a dream or something like this. And same thing, Denise Stoner, author as well, she has something that she talked about Casper the Ghost, and it appeared exactly like Casper the Ghost, but she also will write it off to say, but I was watching a lot of Casper at that time. So it's interesting as well how they can sort of, these screen memory ideas, these put things in your mind, but this little tack on to the end of something amazing, and then they, oh yeah, but no, it was very clearly a Warped Tour 97 shirt that he was wearing, and I remember because my friend had the same one, and it's like, what? And so it sort of makes the whole thing ridiculous in a way.
Yeah.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Yeah, and that's, that further, the onion of hiding things works even better when you take into consideration dreams. And then we've had the stories of scopolamine used, or all these other drugs that make it seem dreamlike, and then it's easily written off. And I would say a lot of them are dreams, or like very lucid, you know, vivid experiences that you're having. Maybe it didn't actually happen. But then you got the story, I can't remember his name, but there's the dude that apparently had these alien chicks in his room that were trying to bang him, which is a common theme.
Peter Curry.
And With the hair wrapped around his wiener?
Yeah. He's great.
And then they tested it, and they were like, "This, it's kind of strange, but like, maybe you just had a hooker in your room." Like, it's easy to write off. That's what I was saying, yeah.
They couldn't be found from any known DNA source, and it had two different DNAs on one strand, which is very interesting, which he thinks entails cloning. Yeah, I had the guy on. I introduced him and didn't talk for an hour and a half, and he just talked about how he had alien hairs wrapped around his junk that could not be identified. It's fantastic. Christina, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I cut you off. Sorry.
No, you're totally fine. I'm not familiar with that story at all. I've never heard of it.
I'll connect you with Peter. He's great. He's Australian. He's in Sydney. He's amazing. Yeah.
What I was going to say, referring to this topic, this idea of those kinds of, like, for instance, what you had mentioned, Brandon, of seeing the Cheshire Cat or that Pearl Jam shirt. What if it's attempt, like their attempt to communicate, not necessarily communicate, but to relate. Connect,
yeah.
To relate. Yeah. What if that is a possibility here? It's the same thing that we do when we have cats or dogs. We bark at them. We meow at them. When we're studying new animals, we try to be as friendly looking as possible. We try to give them a good time, maybe some snacks, maybe a little bed, whatever it might be, in order to display that we are not a threat. And so we're
like
looking
taking
at
your pet
Cheshire
to the vet.
Cat.
What do they do when you take your pet to the vet?
Oh,
like the panda handlers in zoos, yeah. Right? They put on full panda suits so the pandas don't freak out, which are real anyway, which is a great rabbit hole.
Definitely. So that could also be a possibility. And I just want to bring this up because I think it's relevant for this. And that is talking about Whitley Strieber and how he had this epiphany with the connection between UFOs and the paranormal. And his idea is that with a few of his encounters, he would see a deceased loved one before or after having a UFO experience or encounter. And it was believed after a few years of going through this that what if these entities are using a loved one as this medium in order to feel more comfortable before having an experience that might be rather shocking with an entity that you don't know and doesn't look anything like you, doesn't look human. Stranger danger, right?
It's giving you a human milk
day,
bone.
Yeah, what's that? But also, like a treat, like a dog treat. Yeah. It's like giving you a little bone. Yeah, milk bone's a proprietary type of dog treat. That's all.
I'll edit that out.
No, please don't. That was great.
I'm a cat person. I'm sorry. I'm a bit behind with dogs. I love them.
Okay.
I love them. I just don't have one.
Like okay, catnip. It's your catnip to get you tripping so that you're okay with seeing the entity. But then the question is, why do they need to bait you? Because anglerfish do the same thing. They have a little light that draws you out of the darkness to this little light, and then they bite your face off. So, you know, the motives of those things to then sort of get you more comfortable with whatever their real appearance is, if we ever even see that. It's just interesting.
It is. Well, there have been some people that have gone under regression hypnosis of their alien abductions where they encountered praying mantis type entities.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would pee my pants so fast if I were to see this ginormous insectoid head just close to me. I have a massive fear of flying cockroaches. So if I were to see a 6 foot tall flying cockroach, I would throw up all of my organs on the floor and just die.
Yeah,
and I think
fair.
some people have the same kind of fear with other bugs. So it would make sense for them to preface with a loved one or wear some kind of cloaking device in order for there to be this lack of fear, in order for them to continue their experiments or raise your consciousness, whatever the possibilities might be. It's easier to talk to someone that you know or that looks like you. More so, that's why it looks super foreign.
Yeah, and I mean, apparently a lot of these factions or whatever, I mean, there's so many. You have the so-called Pleiadians, the Nordics, the Greys. Apparently a lot of these people know how to do it better. Because the Nordics seem to have it down. Like, if that's a real race of alien people or other dimensional whatever, they seem to have it down the most. They appear to us in a very friendly, pretty manner and very, it's almost like the elves from Lord of the Rings. Like they're great to look at and they're very nice and all that. And that's great. Who knows what they do after they scopolamine you? But then you have the grays that seem to be more like organic robots that show up and they're like, we don't care. We're here to do a job. Open your butt cheeks. And this is happening now, whether you like it or not. So that's what makes me think it is different factions. But Brandon brought something up earlier I didn't even think about. But what's your stance on clones? Or if that's even possible, or have humans accomplished that to a degree yet?
Well, cloning sheep has been going on for a few decades. Cloning people, it seems that if it hasn't already happened, we're on the way there, especially with the science that we're seeing where scientists have now been able to create a baby without using a sperm and egg. Which is really interesting to see how that has evolved over the last few years. We're also with the colossal company in Texas. They're cloning mammoths and they want to clone the dodo bird.
Texas.
And this is all public information. So imagine all the information that hasn't been made public. The thing is that these public companies are decades behind military. So it's very possible and very likely that there are human clones as well.
Yeah, and that's been my my view on it for a while now, because if you just look at the way technology's advanced in the last 100 years, it's 100,000 times what it's been in the last 1,000 years, if you want to believe mainstream history, of course. But so I don't think it's out of line or extreme to say that they've been cloning humans for a long time. Not out in the public, maybe they've been putting a couple out there, you know, just to see what happens, see if they fail. Joe Biden,
I think they're taking a couple for a test drive in public.
Yeah, like little RC cars. They're just like, let's see what happens. What's the worst that could happen?
And if that were to be taking place now, no one would notice because everyone's looking at their cell phones instead of like actually out and about. So it would be very easy for them to implement that today.
Well, we're being set up for demon face syndrome too. Because when you see demons running around, it's your fault, guys. You just have that syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's and also, stuff.
I can't remember the company that just within the last week or two, the company that's coming out with human brain powered AIs. Have you seen this?
Oh,
I can't remember the company.
Final Spark, the one in Norway or Sweden.
Yeah.
I think so.
I covered that. I it's so cool how they're using brain tissue in order to operate computers. That's
We go. Yeah, I think so. This is the synergy of humans and machines. This is Skynet coming into being right now.
Oh, it's so weird to watch though, right? It's so weird because it is, I mean, because we always talk about this a lot too, is that you can't really trust what you're being shown and all that kind of thing. But this shit's crazy. I mean, this shit is absolutely crazy. And we talked about sort of the Elon Musk idea that really when you get a Neuralink and chip in your head, that it's required for you to go to Mars. You won't really go to Mars. They'll just put you in some sort of coma and AI your family a new video of you each week from somewhere. You know what I mean? And just farm people. Back to what you're saying about cloning. Yeah. Maybe this is part of the Eisenhower Treaty is that, yes, they always talk about with that Granada Treaty or Eisenhower Treaty that we got fiber optics, the microchip, and a few other technologies. But what if in that a few other technologies category there was cloning? And the aliens were probably like, hey, look, we can abduct much less people if you just clone the motherfuckers for us and we'll come pick up the bad batch in the back. And then we get what we need, which is humans for some reason. And then you guys, you know, keep your meat sacks running around. And you can poke them.
And that brings into question also whether if the clones, we'll just assume for a minute that clones are real and they're walking among us. Do they actually have souls, or are those the NPCs we're so fond of calling everybody?
Have you heard of this idea, Christina?
Are they actually
NPCs?
Conscious?
That people walking around here aren't real people?
Yeah, it's part of the new terminology of the day. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
And like side quests.
Yeah. What do you think about that? Some people running around like at the bank and shit, they're just not real.
Yeah, so I use the term NPCs in my day-to-day life when people just aren't paying attention, especially on the road. And I'm like, oh man, these NPCs. I don't have bad road rage, but I do call them NPCs. But aside from
Fuck off.
Yeah. No, I don't use such language
in
my day-to-day life. I know.
We do, sorry.
But to answer your question, is it a possibility? Yes. Now, the question would be why? For what purpose? Is it to create chaos and havoc? Is it just for fun? Are we living in a simulation? Are we going to take the conversation there? Right. And then what makes us different from them? There have been moments where we're not paying attention and then someone calls us an NPC.
Dude.
And they're going to say, does this person have a soul? Like, who are they? Are they a clone?
In the multiverse, maybe like your consciousness is sort of split between multiple versions of you. And every now and then when you get in the subconscious, like when you're in traffic or something and your subconscious takes over when you're sleeping, that part of your consciousness that's normally focused attention and gets zapped off to another version of you to animate that for a little while. Almost like trading it off between versions of yourself. What do you think about that?
So you're on autopilot. Yeah.
Temporary NPC. So like right now I'm here with you guys and my other versions of me are all NPC cunts right now. Just out there annoying Christina Gomez is in traffic. And she cusses in my dimension, though, in the other one.
Don't worry, I won't hit you, okay? I won't hit you with my car.
I'm on autopilot. I don't care. It's good. Ram into me, that's fine.
But I've never considered that as an idea. While there are these conversations of there being multiverses and that there could be even parallel dimensions with the same Brandon, Joe, and Christina in them, are they really switching off consciousness where one turns off and one turns on? Look, I'm not God, but that seems rather complex. Why can't they all just share the same, like a tree with roots, versus just kind of popping one off like popcorn?
Maybe like one of your other versions is in just a super meditative spot and they're like, watch guys, I can light fire with my hands. And they really, really concentrate, and it takes a lot of the energy out of the collective you to kind of do that. And so we kind of bog down. I mean, that's why you get tired every now and then. You just have those days you just need to rest. It's the other you just performing some fucking magic in some other dimension, dude.
It's not fibromyalgia.
Trying to get laid. Yeah. Yeah, we'll
to levitate and like create fire with my hands and just think. And then I want to be a Jedi so bad. Like, there are moments in the day where I'll literally try and be like, can I grab the water? And it hasn't worked yet, but I'm still testing it out. Yeah.
I did that when I was like nine.
I do it today.
Did that nine minutes before we got on here. It's just I'm like, I will get this, I swear.
No, I saw Aladdin and was like, let's see how this goes. I wonder if I could just move that pen across the table. Still to this day has not worked, but I think I'm missing something. Probably
belief
skill
in yourself.
Or that. Yeah. No, I love where this goes. So we usually have to warn guests that, and Brandon is very well aware of this, but we go off everywhere. And this is what I was talking about at the beginning. We try to take a lot of different perspectives and try to like make it fit somehow and make sense of it. And it is up to the listener to make sense of it. Don't make sense of me. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm just a ding dong that found a microphone, and you're welcome. Here I am.
What do you think about mermaids?
Oh, fuck. You answer that.
Christina
one.
Gomez, mermaids. What do you think?
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, they have a special place in my heart. I grew up with The Little Mermaid, that and Mulan, okay? And like, I wanted a talking dragon for my whole life. Up to now, I still want one. But mermaids, okay, on a serious note, they have been talked about for centuries. It's a consistent story across a lot of coastal towns across the world. And so I feel like there should be something behind it. Otherwise, why are these countries that never speak to one another are talking about mermaids, sirens, these half fish, half people, entity, creature things? And the thing, my question is, where are they now? Did we sadly kill all of them? Did they leave? Did they never exist? Or did they just go deeper in the deep depths of the ocean because they're scared of humanity because we're so destructive? The thing is that our oceans... Well,
it's probably sailors' tales, an excuse to cheat on their wives, and they just made up this crazy tale, but yeah.
That's terrible.
Do you think that the other exists, where it's the top half is a fish and then they just got legs on the bottom?
That would be pretty inefficient, right? Because just swimming around.
I see what you did there. Dropping puns. Come on.
That was the title one. Okay, but okay. to bring in some facts behind this, our oceans, 10 to 15% are explored, scanned, and understood, leaving 85 to 90% unknown. This is a great place for a lot of creatures to hide, maybe even for alien bases to hide. Mermaids as well, who knows, maybe yeah. Even leprechauns have some super cool diving suits and they can
leprechaun
hang out
mermaids.
There as well.
I've never even thought of that. That's awesome,
dude. The possibilities are endless when it comes
gold.
To the
we're
ocean.
Not exploring that shit.
Well, the thing is that the ocean is monster soup. There's so many crazy critters down there. We have no idea what's going on. Even with our most advanced technology, our cameras, our submarines, we can only go so deep. And the ocean, the Mariana Trench is a fantastic example of how deep that goes. We have no idea what lurks below our understanding of the ocean.
Yeah, and as far as we know, I mean, just recently they've said there's freshwater rivers under the ocean. So, and then there's these weird sinkholes that pop up in different places, and it's like a forest, but underground. And if you've ever played, Zelda?
No, but I'm familiar with it.
Okay, so one of the newest Zelda games for the Nintendo Switch has this underground area, and it's like a whole ecosystem underground. And I mean, that's a game, and people are tired of hearing me talk about Zelda, sorry. But that is one of the newer, not newer things, but one of the more publicly recognized things now is USOs, unidentified submersible objects. Things going in and out of the ocean without leaving ripples or anything like that. And I mean, it makes sense. There could be, we know, I'm going to call it a fact here, that there is underground cave networks that we don't know anything about at all. There's whole networks of caves and underground systems. So it makes sense that in the ocean, like you said, we don't know like 90% of what's under there, that there's crazy underground stuff going on down there. There could be whole civilizations, and that goes back to the, what do they call it, the breakaway civilizations. That could be aliens, or one of the factions of aliens. Like, we don't know. But there is shit popping in and out of the water in the ocean that seems to just be fine with going in the air or the water. So, have you studied or looked into the USO thing at all?
Yeah, definitely. One of the more prevalent researchers when it comes to USOs is Preston Dennett. But looking, yeah, right.
Bonus
Shout
points.
Out.
Great.
Love him.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's awesome. Looking at USOs, what really gained its popularity was the Tic Tac and David Fravor's story of how he saw this object hovering over the water. But there's also been stories of people that have encountered these craft going in and out without creating any kind of splash. And there are some theories by ufologists that these craft have this kind of vacuum force field around it, that it doesn't allow the craft to affect the water to go in and out of it stealthily, which is fantastic. That is genius. Now, there have also been stories. One of them was collected by MUFON. Gosh, I want to say in the late 80s, early 90s, a really interesting case actually of a craft that was over a freshwater bed, and it was sucking up all this water like a tornado. There were two witnesses that saw this that were investigated by MUFON, and the investigator said, "What did you see? What's going on? Why do you think this craft was sucking up all of this fresh water?" And there have been ideas since that sighting, and there have been many others here in the United States, that what if they're kind of like biologists, for instance, where they're just here to literally test the waters, get an understanding of how the ecosystem is running the same way that humans do on a daily basis. But looking at USOs, having them go in and out of the water, that detail and those stories have been consistent across the world, and a lot of coastal countries and towns have seen things very similar to that. And it would only make sense that these entities, if they are incredibly advanced, for these craft to be able to go through the air, through the water, and through space. We, humanity, needs to catch up with that. We're so behind, I feel.
Well, I think that might have been
so, I feel.
Probably. I think that was one of the things I wanted to bring this up too, what your thoughts on Space Force are, because they introduced that several years ago, and I haven't really heard much update on what Space Force is doing. Is that just an arm of NASA where it's just another way to funnel money into more black ops? Because it's like, where's Space Force? Where's our Starfleet? Where is the Millennium Falcon? Like, where's our Space Force? What are you guys doing up there? Are you just floating balloons still? What's going on?
Just like you, I'm not given a lot of information pertaining to the Space Force. All I know is that it was created during the Trump administration because he wanted to protect our airspace in space. But we're not given any further information, and it's shocking. And, you know, I've seen videos of military personnel that make fun of the Space Force and the Air Force as well, when they say like how the military reacts, I mean how the Army reacts, the Marines, and so on and so forth. And when it comes to the Space Force, just like us, all these other military branches have no idea what they're doing. We see a few pretty faces. We see a really awesome logo that looks very similar to Star Trek, and that's all we have. So just like you, I'm in the dark here.
I was just about to pull that up, actually. I just pulled up. So there's a bunch of different Space Force logos. Let me see if I can get my share working here. Hang on. We got buttons to do.
Do you like that new update?
No, I just move stuff around weird. Don't worry about me. Yeah, so here we go. So there's a bunch of different Space Force logos. It's not just one. It's not like, you know, the Marines or the Navy or whatever. There's several different logos for it. And it's like, which one are we doing here? And where's all the stuff? Okay, this, I gotta blow this up. What the hell? Let's do this. Yeah, I suck at doing Google. Yeah, so there we go. That's more what I'm looking for. So there's a bunch of different logos for Space Force, and I think
what
it was
is with this Kraken going on over there, bottom left.
I don't know, but
what is
I
that?
Think OBDM
looks like
is that Nibiru
like a Chinese
coming back?
Dragon.
I know.
Shout out our Big Dumb Mouth podcast, Mike, Joe, and Cretchit over there. But they covered
Shout
these,
out.
And they went through each of these logos and kind of focused on the symbology of all of them. And it's like, why?
We got the Vizra
like,
in the middle bottom.
It looks like they went through most of their budget designing logos, because I haven't seen shit else from Space Force besides logos. Maybe that's all the UFOs we're seeing. That could be too.
It's for their interleague teams, for their handball leagues. That's all those patches are.
Just weekend gatherings for the elites.
Pickleball patches. Yeah.
Probably more like golf.
Yeah, but on the moon, right?
Christina, oh, of course.
Have you considered alternate worldviews and how that would affect how you're researching extraterrestrials? For example, I will even give you an example. Flat Earth, let's just pull it out of the ether here. Flat Earth, have you considered the possibility of us not being on a ball hurling through space, rotating at satanic increments and sizes and spaces?
And not and that, do you believe that? Have you considered it?
No, have you considered, it? Just asking, have you considered that? And if so, how would that affect the way that you, because your research focuses on typically things that we have been told in the community or where we start is that they come from other planets, and that sort of solidifies the thought that we base all of our research from that point on that model. Have you considered throwing the whole damn model out and looking at other models and how that would consider changing the way that you look at this place?
The one that actually made me change my ideas the most in the sense of looking at this with even a more critical eye is, for instance, the holographic theory.
Yeah.
More so than the flat Earth. I'm not really fond of that one. Between you and me, don't
why?
Be
I'm curious.
Nobody. Well, to start off with, well, okay, no, I'm
you
serious.
Can be,
now. Start
you
off
can be
with,
honest and candid here. It's okay.
Yes,
say your piece.
Well, to our understanding, when it comes to space, in order for a planet to be a planet, it has to be round and it has to orbit something else that is a star, and those are also round. And so let's just say for a moment that our planet was flat. Would that mean, and I'm just throwing this out there because I don't know the answer, would that mean that spheres wouldn't even exist as a whole because they're not in space? They can't be here on Earth. That's just an idea, but I'm not really fond of the flat Earth theory. Now, looking at the holographic theory, this is really interesting because there has been paperwork that was released by the CIA through FOIA, which we talked about a little bit earlier, and how they have looked into astral projection, and also similar to the holographic theory, but not necessarily the same, but where we're almost living in this matrix or simulation. And this is a rather interesting topic because in reality, when we take off the labels, this has been taught for centuries, especially looking at the Eastern religions like Buddhism and Hinduism, where they are dealing that the world around us is an illusion. It is Mara in samsara in Hinduism, right? And so when we look at like just that, that means that everything that is happening out there that's actually outside of our minds is an illusion. It's the same kind of example of, and I think this is a relevant example of, if someone gives you a gift, okay, and you don't take that gift, who keeps the gift? You or the person that gave it to you? The person that gave it to you, because you don't want it.
Well, so if he drops it on the ground.
And then you can just stomp on it if you really feel it, like feel that
it on fire.
Teenage angst, right? But in reality, the person that wanted to give it to you keeps it. It's the same thing with an insult. You can either take it or you can give it back to the receiver and say, I don't need this. It's not mine. It's an illusion and it's irrelevant. So when we look at this holographic theory, it can follow similar characteristics to the ones taught in Buddhism and Hinduism. And that's kind of an extreme example. Like, I know people are going to say, Christina, you were out of your mind. How can you compare the two? But it's because of all of these labels that we're seeing that it looks like it's impossible. But that's something that's kind of opened my eyes a little bit more, referring to this level of skepticism to say, what if that is true? Is anything that we're covering or doing, or even if we're being visited, does it matter? How is it going to affect us when we die? If we ever die, right?
Yeah.
And it's very difficult because I don't have the answers. I love being optimistic to the best of my ability, and death is not people's cups of tea, but it is something that I think about from time to time.
I think this is the third guest in a row who's very comfortable with saying, I don't know, and I dig it all day long.
That's the best answer.
Even though you can have an opinion one way or another on something, you're still, I don't know. And I love the holographic theory or the simulation theory, that's, like you said, it's not new. Calling it simulation theory is new as of the 20th century because of computers. So we have a better way in, you know, the Matrix movies and all that. We have a better way to envision
put it into words.
Yeah.
Right.
But the way that it's been taught through Hinduism, you know, the samsara and is it the Maya? What was it called?
Well, yeah. So you have Maya and Mara. And now I'm put on the spot right there. But
did you just say the F word?
No, I did not.
I heard it.
I did not.
You can have a hard F bomb too.
You can play it back. I did not.
No, that's really funny though. I actually, when you were coming up with ideas for the name of the show, I was going to call it The Gates of Samsara because it was just going to be the same thing over and over and over again. And I decided not to. And I think Legit Bat stuck a little bit better. But no, that idea, though, that you're just kind of doing the same thing over and over again, and the holographic nature, it makes a lot of things make sense, and it does seem reductive because it seems easy, where you're like, if this is a holographic simulation type of thing, then literally everything that you've ever imagined could exist from some perspective. That wraps it up in a nice, neat bow, but I don't know if that's true either. So it's like, think what you want.
We can only live it and experience it to the best of our ability to give ourselves an answer, because no matter how much you hear it from someone else, no matter how much you read it from someone else that wrote it, you won't know it until you go through it. And it's so cliche, but it's true. It's the same thing with people talk about meditation and how great it is for you. And you can read all about it and you'd be like, oh, I got this. And then you do, and you're like, this is really hard. I don't like this. But then after years of practice and diligence, you're like, okay, I kind of get it now. Now I'm feeling it. Now it makes sense. That can be, that mentality and that example can be applied to everything. You can read it and you think that you know it, but if you don't do it, good luck.
Yeah. And we come back to that a lot, where it's also cliche, but reality is subjective, but it really is. Nobody experiences the same thing as anybody else. You could experience the same thing as somebody standing next to you, and you're going to have a wildly different interpretation of what just happened. So it doesn't mean either of you are wrong. It just means that you have a different interpretation of what just happened. And then people get online on Twitter and fight about it. And then here we are today in 2024. So it's a great time out there. Before we close up, though, out of this thing, where do you think this is going as far as wrapping it back up to the UFOs and disclosure and all that? Where do you think, in your mind, this is all opinion and speculation because we love doing that, where do you think that's going in the next 5 to 10 years, maybe even the next 2 years? Do you think it's going to be speeding up, or maybe it'll be stretched out a little bit over the next decade?
Every year we hear, this is the year of disclosure. This is the year we're going to get everything. We hear that every single year. Now, would I like that to be for 2025? Heck yes. Now, we've
but
also
would you
been
believe
told,
it?
Right? We've also been told that 2024 is going to be a super hot year with UFO whistleblowers, UFO disclosure, transparency, so on and so forth. I'm still waiting for that. I'm excited to see what's in the bag by these so-called people that have the insights that we, you and I, do not, right? Now, where is this all leading to? I would really like to hope that this is leading towards this mass sighting, because disclosure at the end of the day is not going to come from the government, never, ever. It will be coming from the people and or these entities that are like, okay, now it's time, right? And so would I like it to be next year? Will it happen when the polls shift, right? Could that be the situation when it happens, when we actually have a 2012 encounter, sighting, experience, right? I have no clue, but I'd like to think that all of this is going to build up to something important. Now, what I define as important is going to be very different from what you define as important. The same thing with the word disclosure. Everyone has a different idea of what that means. But what I'm liking so far is that this topic is being so openly spoken about in the last few years than ever before. And that's what I like seeing, is that level of skepticism, open-mindedness, and just talking about this. Because the thing is that with this topic, nobody has the answers. Nobody knows what's going on. We have all this speculation. And I think that really opens up people's minds to critical thinking that I think we have been lacking in the last few decades.
Yeah. And if you want to believe, I can't remember what news outlet it was, but back in like 2020, 2021, they said critical thinking is bad. Remember that headline? Specifically said critical thinking is bad. I think people are starting to catch on that maybe it's not so much, and maybe you should just make your own ideas about things based on the information gathered. But Brandon, do you have any closing words of wisdom for us, or any other points you want to get across before we get out of here?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that you say important event, because Fatima, you know, was in 1917, was an important event, and it was three kids, sort of Salem witch trials-y, that told everybody that this was going to happen, and then they show up an hour late, and then this crazy stuff where it rained like crazy, this disc of the sun danced around for a little bit and dried all the people off. It was so close, and it was really dramatic. And it's interesting to think that something like that's going to occur. It's also interesting to when it occurs, because I think it's inevitable, just like you, something will, whether it's staged, whether it's in cahoots with the crook-nosed grays and the crook-nosed politicians together, which that's an interesting correlation. Maybe they're one and the same. It's interesting to think that something will just come out and smack us in the face with this. But I am also curious, like you said, when it's important, who is it important to, and what's the motive behind the result of that action? It's a good question, though. It's been wonderful hanging out with you. This has been a great conversation. I really, really respect the work you're doing, and thank you for doing it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys having me on and asking some really fun questions and talking about topics that I've never really spoken out about. So I had a lot of fun. Thanks, guys.
Nice. Well, glad to crack that shell open. That's awesome. Tell everybody where they can find you. I mean, obviously, Strange Paradigms on pretty much all platforms, right? Is there anything other specific, any other projects you're working on right now?
The best place to find me is on my website at strangeparadigms.com. There you can find all of my social media links. I also write articles for all of my shows that I cover as well. Or you can just type it under Christina Gomez on YouTube, but there's no H in Christina. And then aside from that, those are like the best ways to find me. And as for new projects, I always am cranking out shows every single week, covering some really interesting topics such as these that we've covered here today. So if you're interested in that stuff, then that is the best place to find me, is on YouTube or on my website.
Perfect. And of course, you can find all of Brandon's stuff at expandingrealitypodcast.com. You can find all our stuff wherever you find it, because apparently you found this. You're listening to it. Dummies. No, just kidding. Thanks everybody on YouTube, Rockfin, and audio. We will see you next time.
Thank y'all. Come again.
Thank you for listening to Legit Bad. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.